Welcome to Beamercast number 20. It is April 26th. Hard to believe. This is Gabe. We've got Michael on the line, and we're going to be talking all sorts of performance models and speaking a little bit about wagons as well. 335 IS was driven this past week. We've got a review up. This is our second review of the car. We've got another review of the Z435 IS. We're going to be talking a little bit about the 1M and some of the videos that have been out recently, and maybe a little X3 talk, and then finally touch on the wagons a little bit. Oh, and the GT. Just had a drive in the GT, the 550 GT, so we'll be also discussing the finer points of the Gran Turismo. So stay tuned. Okay, and it's been a little while, but we're back. Michael, how are you doing?
Good, Gabe, and you?
Great. We've been busy. We've been driving a lot of cars. So we've got some reviews coming up on the site. One of the reviews just launched last week, the 335 IS. It was a quick drive. We've got the Z4 IS, which actually should be up by the time you're hearing this. The 550 GT is going to be up this week, and I'm sure we have something else coming up. I can't even think of it. It's just been pretty crazy.
It's been a busy few weeks here in Bimmercast, Bimmerfile land.
I think that it's all these models. Well, I should say the IS models and the 1M, and everybody's getting pretty excited. I mean, this is the stuff that the readers of the site really have been waiting for, and I think the IS models starting to actually see those firsthand and drive those. It's a little bit more than window dressing, I can tell you that.
Yeah, without a doubt. It's not just, you know, like an M Sport kit with some extra doodads and styling here and there. It's actually got some performance behind it.
Yeah. And I mean, we should probably just dive right into it. The 335 IS, what a sound. I mean, that thing is probably the most aggressive sounding non-M car I've ever heard out of BMW.
Yeah, without a doubt. And funny, this is my first experience from the back seat, and you can actually feel the rumble in the seat when the exhaust is hitting its notes. It's pretty sweet.
Yeah, it's really, really nice. You can tell the engineers had a lot of fun with it. You know, it's a U.S. only car. Number one, that exhaust would in no way be legal in Europe.
And in fact, no.
I actually wonder if it's technically legal in every state as it stands.
Yeah, that would be an interesting thing. I'm sure some people are going to get pulled over because of noise violations here and there anyway. It's not quite loud.
It's not obnoxiously loud. It's just, you know, got a sporty note. We'll just leave it at that. But it's also got a lot of, you know, back off pops, like a little overrun pops, and it's extraordinarily throaty. It's just a great, great car, or great sound.
Yeah, and it doesn't have that annoying highway drone either, which drives me insane in a lot of other model cars out there.
Well, that's true. It's really, really true. And I drove the DCT model, and I think, Michael, that's the one you drove as well.
Yes.
That is fantastic. The DCT is a great transmission. There's just no way around it. With the new pull-pull paddles, it's going to be, I would imagine, 80% of 335 IS is sold. It is a great combination. I have to say, personally, I would go for the manual. That's just, I kind of like the involvement. But it's, either way, it's a great combination.
Yeah, and the other thing is I'm doing a lot of thinking, is that I think the manual is great for us in the U.S. because we really don't have high-speed ability to drive on the roads. Mm-hmm. You know, if you're in Europe and you have the Autobahn and you can wail and things like that, and you're paying more attention to the road and the finer nuances of actually driving.
Well, and the roads are much more curvy. It's a much more intimate experience, and you have other things to concern yourself around. Yeah, I think you've hit something there, because in the U.S., I mean, there's a lot of stop and go. There's a lot of, like, 90-degree turn here, 90-degree turn there. And a manual car keeps you engaged, whereas you are already engaged if you're driving down phenomenal roads around roundabouts and, you know, going 180 kilometers an hour.
Yeah, it's absolutely true. And, you know, like when I had done my original review, the DCT is a wonderful transmission, shifts when you want it to shift. It does everything you ask it to. And the one advantage I see on the track with it is instead of, you know, trying to rev match, it revs match for you. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you can nail that apex perfectly because you're not worrying about doing three other things at the same time.
Well, and that's, I totally agree. And I've said this since the E46 M3. I mean, if you bought that M3 as a track car, something to take to the track quite often, the SMG was your choice. It's a great transmission for the track. And I would say the DCT is of the same ilk, but, and this is a big but, it is actually completely civilized on the road. Whereas the SMG was, you know, you click it and you just kind of wait. And I mean, all sorts of things happen or don't happen when you don't expect them to. The DCT is, you put it in auto mode, which I don't condone, but you can, and it's an automatic. It feels like an automatic. You throw it over in manual mode, and it's, I almost hate to equate it to this, but it's like playing Gran Turismo on the PlayStation. It feels just super, super responsive, and it feels like a video game, which is, I guess, high praise. In a weird way, just because when you click it, you get the downshift, you get the upshift, you hear the revs, like, there is no drama. It just works.
It does what it's supposed to do when it's supposed to do it.
Exactly. And it's a lot of fun. And I think where if I had that in a 335i, it would feel a little mundane. The 335is is completely just, it's fantastic. It's intoxicating. You know, the sound of the thing just makes you want to shift. And with those little paddles behind the steering wheel, you can very easily.
And the torque is something that, you know, is missing from, say, the M3, even though the M3 has ample torque because you multiply it by the gear ratio and everything like that.
Well,
but
yeah, I think it's a good point. And in fact, that brings me to the Z435IS. And I wanted to bring up one at one point, Michael, you and I were, we had a little chase going and you were in your M3 E90 and I was in the Z435IS. And we both accelerated, staying within the laws of the roads, I might add. But we accelerated pretty hard. And Michael, you were behind me, so you have a better vantage point. But it was pretty clear that you weren't gaining on me. And in fact, I would say I was maybe even inching away a little bit.
I would agree with that wholeheartedly, that you were definitely inching away with the Z4.
So
without a doubt.
Yeah, there you go. I mean, the Z435IS is a little bit of a different animal than the 335IS. Number one, it has more power. It has 335 horsepower, 369 foot-pound of torque on overboost, which is pretty insane. It has, I would say, less of a raspy note to it, and it's a little bit more refined, but don't get me wrong, it is still a phenomenal sound. I mean, it is a hoon's car. It makes you want to do nasty, nasty things.
Yeah, and the thing with the Z4 version, though, is the exhaust is actually adjustable, and it adjusts itself so it's not overly loud when you have the top down. So you had the top down, so it's actually going to be a little quieter than if you had the top up, which is really interesting.
That is interesting. I do remember hearing that. But I think the one thing that I came away with from the Z4, I mean, the one thing that just blew my mind was the steering feel. BMW has gone from what I would say was one of the weakest, well, the weakest point in that car, and made it one of the best. And it's all down to, and Michael, correct me if I'm wrong, but programming.
Software, yes.
It's unbelievable. Now, I will say that it doesn't have the precision that an E90 M3, especially an E46 M3, and obviously it gets better and better the lower the numbers go, but it is surprising. It has a good heft to it. It has the right amount of feel. You throw it in a corner and you know where it is. Now, you're never going to get that absolute precision because you're sitting behind the longest nose in the world. You're sitting low. One of the things that I love about the four-door M3, the current one, is you're sitting up a little bit higher. You see the corners of the car and you can place it perfectly. The Z435IS is not quite that car. But the steering feel is pretty close. And I would say one of the best non-M steering feels out there right now from BMW. It is that good.
I'd have to agree. It's amazing how far that steering has come, because it was a, you know, that was the big anti Z4, you know, advertising campaign we had there for a bit, was that the steering was very imprecise. It was over boosted almost because it was, had this electrical feel to it and wasn't really giving you any feedback. And now it's just money. It's perfect.
Oh yeah. And I'll say this. I mean, my review last year was glowing because that car was perfect in every single way except for one. And with the Z435IS, they have fixed it. Right? There's not really much else to say. There's only two things that I think hold that car back. I think number one, it's only available with a DCT. And I know that we just talked about how great the DCT is. It is that good. But for those who really like to row their own gears, you can't have it. The car cannot come with the manual transmission. So right there, it's kind of got a strike against it for some of us. And I would say caveat to that, it doesn't have the, because the steering wheel was designed in a certain way, it cannot accommodate the new paddle system, the new pull-pull paddle system. So it's going to be stuck with the push-pull paddle system, which is the, I call it the latte sipping paddle system. So it's not quite as, this doesn't feel quite as sporty with that. So I think that's sort of another pseudo strike against it. But the other big strike is the price. And I actually think it's not a strike. I think the car is worth the money. But for a lot of folks, they're going to look at that and think, you know, $62,000, I could get an M3. I mean, a few more thousand dollars, I could get an M3 convertible.
Yeah, it's just not a roadster, you know, that's the...
Oh, yeah. Yeah. No, and I agree. And again, I will argue that it's a better car in many, many ways. If you don't need four seats, the Z435IS may be the better car, which is pretty crazy when you think about it. But I really think the IS is that good.
Yeah, the only gripe I have with either one is that they're stock brakes. But the stock brakes on a BMW are the best in class, you know, for the street. Mm-hmm. So when you take it to the track, you're going to probably experience some fade after, you know, a few laps if you're not properly letting go and cooling and, you know, doing a couple cool down laps. But a
couple things you can do. I mean, take it to the track. If you're taking it to the track, flush the system, put Super Blue in, number one. Number two, you're probably going to want another set of pads. Wear the pads out, put some new ones on, something a little bit more aggressive. I think you're right. The brakes are they're probably good enough. You know, you do even just the fluid and you're probably fine. So it is interesting to see that they didn't change it, but at the same time, those are pretty good sized brakes on there as is. Gone are the days when, you know, BMW made a M3 with tiny, tiny little brakes. You may remember the E46 M3 with the non-competition package or CSL brakes.
Yeah.
It's a little underbraked. But anyway.
But the one caveat to the brakes is that they actually have cooling ducts on the IS cars, so the brakes will actually get some fresh air.
See, I'm pretty sure that the standard Z4 had those too, no?
The Z4 may, I'm not sure on that, but I do know that the M3 does not have brake cooling ducts, and I have inspected my car 1,000 times, and I'm sure 1,000 other people that own an M3 will say the same thing, that those ducts go nowhere but to the motor.
Really?
Yeah.
I find that incredible, because my 3 Series wagon had brake cooling ducts.
My E61 wagon had brake cooling ducts. But from what I'm told, that there's little Venturi systems underneath that redirect air, and the wheels are designed to pull air through. And there's all these little complex ways of doing it without brake ducts. But there's a big movement in some of the people that track their M3s for somebody to develop a nice bolt-on mm-hmm. brake cooling system that doesn't require destroying your front air dam.
Well, you've got those huge air intakes in the corners, and I haven't stuck my hand and indeed my arm in there far enough to figure out where they go. I just
they go all the way up to the motor. That's straight into the motor for breathing. Oh yeah.
Well, speaking of M's, we should probably change topics and talk about this little little M car that everybody can't stop talking about. The 1M, the M1, whatever we are going to call it, it's coming. And clearly, there's some Nürburgring testing going on. We've seen two different videos, lots of photos. It looks mean. It looks really, really mean.
It does, and clearly those that said it wasn't coming were wrong. But that's another story.
Yeah, there's this new rumor, and I don't know who started it, that there's two cars. There's actually the IS. There's a 135 IS that's being developed, and there's the M1. In fact, I heard one rumor that said the M1 is being canned in favor of the IS, which, I don't believe any of that. I believe the M1 or 1M or whatever, an M product of some kind is coming.
Yeah, I mean, all you have to do is look at those photos and you see the big, massive M3 rear differential, which is out of a UPS truck, basically, sitting there hanging real low, and it's there, and that's why you have the wider fenders. And if you look at the front brakes, they're out of an M3 also. So, hey, I don't know. I think it's coming. It's all off-the-shelf parts, and it's all just being thrown together, and it's going to be a good time.
Yeah, it looks fantastic. I can't wait, personally. I love the 1 Series, and I think it's going to be a screamer. So absolutely cannot wait. One other car that I actually had, not quite as exciting as the IS cars, but I did have a chance to take a 550 GT out for a week. And, in fact, it coincided with my 24 Hours of Le Mans race, which went well, by the way. Finished 17th out of, I think, around 60.
Very nice.
And our little 86 Toyota MR2 is still going strong. No, we don't have a E30. It's just didn't happen. Couldn't find one in time at the $500 level. So we went MR2. We were thinking about calling it the M.1. and we may still repaint it and do it again for the fall. But we just never had enough time to get into that amount of, planning, frankly. But anyway, great time. But the 550 GT was sort of our team car, and was perfect. I mean, you can't imagine a better car for something like that. It was when it needed to, it stood idle and pumped out enormous amounts of heat since it got down to the 30s overnight, and we camped, of course. So it's a great car. The thing just accumulates miles on a highway like nothing I've ever driven outside of a 7 Series. It is just a great highway cruiser. It is surprisingly, performs surprisingly well. It handles well. It doesn't have the most feedback. It's definitely isolated, but it has a lot more than you'd expect. Certainly a lot more than anything you'd expect that you may cross shop with it. It's a gorgeous car inside. It is just a beautiful interior. Exterior, it takes some getting used to. There's certainly some angles that are challenging. There's other angles that I think are fantastic. But, I mean, it's the 7 Series wagon we've never had.
I like it a lot, personally. I think it's very functional. interior is cozy, but not like driving a couch.
Yeah.
I just it's great. It's a happy medium, if there's ever a happy medium in that area. Do I miss the wagon? Absolutely, I'll miss the wagon. But at the same time, I think that the GT gives you 9/10 of what a wagon would give you.
Well, and the GT, it's interesting because it's not really meant to be. So for instance, I wanted to throw the seats down. I needed to load it up with some tires for the race, and wow, there's no manual way to do it. You actually have to go to the back and push a button. And you have to slowly wait for it to go down. Clearly it's not marketed towards somebody like myself. It's not marketed towards somebody like you, Michael. And this is something that is created for, in fact, a friend of mine's dad saw it. He's a current 5 Series owner. And I actually saw the man drool. He got so excited about it. You know, he was maybe right around 60 years old. This car was made for him. And he ate it up, absolutely loved it. And I think you see that in the sales. I think you see that, that GT is clearly outselling where the wagon was. And it may not be a huge volume seller, but at the same time, it is capturing a little bit more of the market.
Yeah, the 550 GT, which, mind you, is really the niche within the niche, if we're going to use that term. But it's the biggest motor, rear-wheel drive only, so you're eliminating a lot of people, by offering the V8 only in rear-wheel drive, and it's already outsold the total of the E61
Wow. For the
in the
year?
U.S. For the U.S., yeah, for the year, yeah, already. I mean, it was like in 3 months it outsold the 5 Series wagon. So to me, I mean, that's not even offering it in a 535 or all-wheel drive yet. And to be honest with you, a 535 in all-wheel drive in the Northeast is what you're going to sell the most of.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's Midwest as well. In fact, talking with somebody at my local dealer, they sold a couple, but not a ton. And the reason he gave was, well, there's no all-wheel drive. And as much as we all know all-wheel drive isn't the answer most of the time, the public at large out there, I mean, they see these commercials from Audi, Subaru. I mean, they believe that all-wheel drive is something they have to have, and they'll wait for it. Or they'll buy
Yeah, and
something else.
yeah, that's right. And or and spend the extra $2,500 on it. So,
And carry
it's
around the extra 200 pounds and so on.
hey, I understand completely. I have one parked in my driveway as we speak, so
Yeah. Well, it's not
Mark,
all bad.
no, the marketing machine works when it has to.
But no, the 550 GT was a good vehicle. Really enjoyed it. But let's turn the tables a little bit and talk about wagons, because we did promise a little wagon talk last episode. And Michael, you're a wagon fan, obviously. You had one in your driveway. I had one in my driveway as well. I had an E46 manual transmission with a sport package, a 3 Series wagon, which I absolutely loved. It was a fantastic car, and it was one of those that I found used somewhere just randomly with very low miles and snapped it right up.
Nice. I had a 2007 530 XI sport wagon, sport package, manual transmission, 6-speed. And I miss it every day, but at the same time, I love my M3, so it was a nice trade-off.
Yeah, I think that is a pretty good trade-off, actually. But yeah, the wagon, it's clearly dead as far as the 5 Series goes for this generation. Next generation, we don't know what's going to happen. The 3 Series, I think the writing is on the wall, considering that there is going to be a 3 GT, but that's one we don't know for sure. We've heard rumors, pretty substantial rumors, that it'll be going away as well. But again, we'll see. I think that market is a little bit trickier for BMW, because the 3 Series wagon, as much as it doesn't sell a ton, it does sell more than what the Fiver did. And it's I think the sort of the cries of fall are going to be a little bit more loud for the 3 Series wagon if it dies.
Yeah, and it's an interesting time because other manufacturers are starting to actually offer wagons. Like Acura's got this TSX wagon coming, and Audi always is a big pusher of wagons and things like that. So there's actually going to be more competition, I think, in the marketplace in this, entry level luxury sport segment. So it might actually be a time when BMW is still going to bring that 3 Series wagon because other manufacturers are going to be spending their marketing dollars pushing wagons. Here's BMW that's always had a wagon at some point,
Yeah, it's true. It may not be a bad thing.
And I always feel that it's just how the public views a specific segment. I feel, a lot of people think that, wagons are ugly, wagons are this, wagons, very utilitarian, no sport. And I think it's just something that has been missed from BMW leasers, buyers that are not true enthusiasts or want a car that has function and sport. Because if you think about how Subaru makes its money, Subaru sells, God, how many wagons do they sell? And they're still in business and they're very successful. And their main market is really wagons. Same with Volvo.
Well, it is changing though, because I mean, Subaru is, well, for one, Volvo just killed one of their wagons that they used to bring over here. They've got that small SUV. They're moving to SUVs, and Subaru is essentially taken their wagon, their Outback, and turned it into God knows what. I mean, it looks like an Explorer. It's so gigantic. So, I do think that they're certainly selling wagons. but not a name. And I wonder what's going to really help. I mean, Audi doesn't sell a ton. We know that. We know the CTS wagon is out. It'll be fascinating to see what happens, but there's no ad dollars behind it. It's an interesting situation. You know, Acura has, you said, their TSX wagon, which they're only selling with a four-cylinder and an automatic.
That's a good time.
Yeah, that's one I can't figure out. I mean, if you had to pin down, like, what's wrong with Acura, that's what's wrong with Acura right there, as far as the enthusiast goes.
Yeah, no, I definitely agree with that. That's like the Honda Cross Tour, which is probably a shared chassis with that, I would imagine. But
yeah, I believe it is. The Cross Tour is also one of the ugliest cars in America. That's an answer to a trivia question at parties. It's always fun.
And it has absolutely no trunk space.
No, it doesn't. In fact, I recently stumbled onto one and was checking it out. You're right. It's kind of alarming, actually.
Yeah.
But suffice it to say, we're wagon fans here, and the wagon future for BMW is a little murky. The GT, the 3 Series GT, we've been told and we've read that it's going to be sportier than the 5 Series GT. Expect something that's a little bit more dynamic is one of the things I've heard personally. So, you know, there is some hope in terms of something at least interesting in the wagon type of segment, but the traditional 3 Series wagon, you know, it's not looking good.
It's on life support.
Yeah, it really is. But I think that may wrap up our show in terms of the topics we wanted to cover this week. We do have a lot coming up though. I know, Michael, you're going to be actually off driving pretty much every other BMW we didn't talk about tonight in the next couple weeks.
Yeah, it should be, and I'm actually hoping to, you know, discuss some other time at the track and things like that coming up as well. So we have a lot of stuff planned in the not so distant future, which is going to be quite exciting, I hope.
And that's right, you're actually going to be at a BMW CCA event taking your M3 up.
Yeah, I'm going to be up at Watkins Glen and taking the M3 up on a really fast track and looking forward to it and just getting prepped and ready to roll to that up in actually Mother's Day weekend.
That's fantastic.
Sorry, Mom, but I got to go to the track.
I'm sure she understands.
Yeah, it's like crack or something. I don't know.
It's
you know?
Funny. I was actually doing the race, the Lemons race last weekend, and my parents came out and watched for a little bit. And the only time, and I have to preface it by saying I've never hit anything, not even another car, which is something to be said in Lemons, in any of my two Lemons races. And I've always been very fast. Last race, I was the fastest, had the fastest time on the track, period. This past race, I was right up there. So I've always been pretty successful, haven't hit anything. But I was pushing the car, and we had 15-inch tires in the front, and 15s in the front and 18s in the rear. They were leftover mini wheels somebody had, so we threw some tires on them. And I can just tell you, you know, it was challenging. The handling was a little challenging. In fact, I think my exact quote was, "We just turned this thing into a 911." So as you can imagine, I was pushing it, and I shifted a little late and sort of upset the car's balance, and it just went right around. And as I was coming into the pits, I got radioed in from our guy, from one of the other guys, and he was like, "Yeah, by the way, your mom saw you spin, just so you know."
Always a good time.
So yeah, that's kind of haunted me. Anyway, and then we got two humping bunnies welded to our roof as a little payback. That's the beauty of 24 Hours of Lemons. If you spin, you get black flagged and they do something to your car, or they make you like wear a dress or something. It's pretty funny. Anyway,
humping bunnies.
Yeah. So, look for that write up. Look for our 24 Hours of Lemons write up in the next few days. And, you can actually see the humping bunnies and all sorts of other photos. So,
yeah. And the only other news is really that the X3 is making its way. We should be seeing it real soon, and probably the end of June. And then the official press launch, I believe, is in October. So it should hit the U.S. right around December.
You know, the X3 is just been left out a little bit of the mix lately. And it's funny, we just talked about how the X3 had one of its best sales his best months of sales in the past, what, 5 years, last month?
Something like that.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
And tonight, actually, I was just driving down the street. I was actually going to the grocery store, and I saw one of those. I saw one of those brand new X3s. And then the thing, it almost looks like a G-Class Mercedes at this point. It looks so old.
It does. It's really old school, and it's definitely going to get a refresh and going to be the future of BMW.
Well, it is. It's that F30 platform. I know it's going to be the F25, but it's going to ride on that the same platform as the F33 series. So it does, I think, it's going to give us a little window into the future.
Yeah, and it can't get here soon enough, to be honest with you.
Yeah, it's true.
Still better handling SAV than the others, but you know, just interior accoutrements, it's a little.
Poor Z3. It's just, or I'm sorry, poor X3. It just gets shafted all the time.
It does,
and
it
even really and does. Even from day one too. I mean, the reviews have never been kind to that car.
No, when it first came out, it was too harsh, and then they made it too soft, and it was underpowered. Then it was this, and then it was the interior was that.
They just basically took away every engine but one.
Yeah,
and so, voila, X3. Sorry, I've got Z3 on my mind for some reason. In fact, we had a comment from a reader and listener asking us to spend some time on the Z3, and I think we should probably do that in one of the upcoming shows.
Yeah, we definitely should. That's a fine product, and it's a car that, you know, BMW made a nice small roadster and kind of got away from it. And I think they're trying to get back to it, to be honest with you.
Really, and the Z3 is such a fun car. I'm sure it wasn't, you know, the rear suspension wasn't the most sophisticated, but it was light. It was a classic looking roadster. And if you look around, they're starting to get a little cheap.
Yeah, no, they definitely are. And you know what? What's the alternative? A Miata? I mean, I personally rather drive the BMW for, say, the extra $2,500 on the used car market than those Miatas are going for, which for some reason are still expensive. I'm not sure. But it's really insane. And, you know, that would be a really fun track car if they made it with a hard top. But, oh, wait, they did. It was called the Shoe. And that's a whole nother.
And it was one of the best BMWs of all time.
Yeah, that's a whole other show in and of itself.
It is. And I think, I don't know, Michael, we've never talked about this, but the Z3 Coupe is absolutely one of my, in fact, I almost couldn't stand it when I first saw one. I was probably 18 and I literally almost had a fit. It was like a shoe. I thought it was one of the most ridiculous, vulgar, and awesome things I've ever seen in my entire life.
That's when the engineers still had a say in design.
Yeah, well, in fact, yeah, the designer is actually the current exterior designer of Mini. So he designed the Clubman. He designed the M3, E46 M3, and is currently sketching out some future Mini products. So he's still with the Marcus Searing, still with the BMW Group.
Very nice man.
Yeah. So with that said, BeamerCast number 20, that's it. We'll be back with BeamerCast number 21 next week. Kind of hard to believe, 20 episodes. It's been a lot of fun.
We're getting old or something.
Yeah, definitely. Well, we keep on saying this, we're going to try to do these more often, and we're almost back to once a week. It's certainly tough with all the travel, but at the same time, a lot of fun. So look for quite a few more coming up. So until then, this is Gabe. Cheers.
Michael, prost.